Man, if you're new to Believers Chapel, we're simple. Real simple. Worship and Word Church. We believe that God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who created us, the one who would love us with such an incredible deep love when we were so distant from Him, to separate that gap, to bring us back in a relationship with Him, would send His Son, Christ Jesus, to die on a cross to pay for the payment for our sin. He deserves to be thanked and worshiped and honored and adored and praised. And we believe that this right here is the absolute truth. Man, we're simple. Bible, truth. That you and I are called to live out truth in such a way that we are different, in such a way that we look at this and say yes. It's that simple. We look at this and we say yes. Your opinion don't count. My opinion don't count. Politic opinion don't count. Worldview don't matter. Public view, toilet. We're that simple, folks. Worship and Word Church. This morning I'm going to challenge you. Because you're going to walk out of this place, and tomorrow morning you're going to wake up, and I hope that you think differently when you wake up tomorrow. I hope it starts now, but I hope tomorrow morning when you get out of bed, your routine is different. You understand that you come in the presence of God and one day, one message, one verse can change your life. Do you get that? You understand when God speaks to your heart and you respond, you are not the same. That's the God we serve, the one true living God that is into changing lives. That's why He sent Christ. And when you come together in church, and I need to stress this because there's a message that will come, that when you hear this, either you respond to it or you don't. And if you respond to it, things aren't the same. If you respond to it as one who is single and you really honestly get it and you respond to what God says, you'll make changes and you won't be the same. One verse could change your world. God can deliver and speak something by His Spirit directly in your heart. Well, you know God is speaking to me. And if you respond, you're no longer the same. That's the power of God. It's amazing. It's amazing when you have those moments that you know God is pulling and you know that the Spirit of God is tugging and you know that God is speaking to you. And if you respond, your days from there forward are not the same. And change has to take place. Told you in the beginning of summer, folks, that this up close and personal was going to change you. It was going to challenge you. Man, it was going to expose things. And for the first portion of the whole summer, we were us towards Him. How we so desire and long to be close to God. And man, knowing all that God has done for us, man, it drives us to worship Him. It drives us and compels us to get before Him and to be amazed by Him and to thank Him. And man, it was this up close and personal from us to Him. For the next 4 weeks, it is up close and personal to Him, to us. Today's how He created me. God who doesn't need me. God who doesn't need me to complete Him. God who doesn't need me to fulfill Him. God who absolutely lacks nothing, who is perfect in everything. How do we think we add anything to Him? And yet He created me. And next week is a God who pursues me. How is it that we go up close and personal to Him and that makes sense? But what about God becoming up close and personal to us? That's mind-blowing. One directional, simple. Yeah, we should be up close and personal. When you know God and you understand how vast and great and amazing and mighty and powerful and sovereign all authority God is and He draw near to us, that's wow. Come on, let's ask God to move in His place this morning. Father, I thank You for this time. God, I pray and hope and believe that our time of worship and praise was truly a sacrifice, and it was one that honored and glorified You because You so deserve to be praised and thanked and worshiped. Jesus, we're amazed by You. Jesus Christ, thank You for what You've done for us. Jesus, thank You for the cross. Thank You for our forgiveness. Thank You for the blood that has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We owe You everything, Jesus. We owe You everything, and we're amazed by You, and we thank You for our freedom from sin. We thank You that You have gone to prepare a place for us. We thank You that there is a day. We are so temporary here, but there is a day that we are called home. There is a day that we will be home for an eternity because Jesus, You did a work for us that is an eternal forever work, and You've gone to prepare that place for us. That's home. This is temporary. Jesus, we're amazed by You. And Father, I ask that we come together here with our eyes open to see what we need to see, with our hearts just longing for You. Speak to us this morning. God, give us ears to hear from You. Folks, please ask God. God, speak to me today. God, I'm here on purpose. God, I need this. I need to hear from you today. God, speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, two places this morning, Psalms 8 and Job 34, please. Job 34, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Go to Psalms, should be right dead center of your Bible, turn left, and that should be Job, okay? If you have your little clickers and your eye, whatever, that's easy for you, punching Job. Awesome. Psalm 8, we'll start, and then we'll get to Job 34 in just a minute. While you're turning there, I want to read this to you. Because this morning I'm going to paint, hopefully, a clear picture of just how great and big and awesome and powerful and majestic God is, and how we're not. Look at this. I want you to just hear this, please. This is Isaiah 40, says this, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" This is the kicker. This is amazing. "That it is He," that's God, "who sits above the circle of the earth." God who sits up. How do you know where heaven is? People ask, well, where's heaven? Up. I mean, that's the best I got because that's the best He gives. It's not down. Hell is down. Where is heaven? Up. I mean, that's, if you want some theological, spiritual answer, you know what it is? Up. That's it. Where's heaven? Up. Where's God? Up. This is the deal. This is what it says. "For He sits above." That's up, folks. I just made it brief. Up. "He sits above the circle of the earth." And look at this. This is us. That is Him, the creator of the circle of the earth. The one who created the earth sits above. And look at, that's God and all of His creation. And this is where our picture is. I would just hear this, please. "And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers." Did you hear that? That's you and me, little green creatures hopping around, spitting black stuff when, you know, whatever. God and us are like grasshoppers. And this is amazing. "He stretches out the heavens like a curtain, and He spreads them out like a tent to dwell in." Gang, when you begin to get the biblical picture, God has written everything we need to know about Him, and there's so much more that we don't know. There's so many mysteries that we are not to know, and there's so much more. God, He is unsearchable. Our little minds can't figure out just how amazing and how great and how powerful God is. And then He gives us an amazing picture. He says, "I sit above the circle, that which I created, and all the inhabitants of the land are like grasshoppers." Sometimes, folks, that you and I have to come to a place to be reminded of just how vast and amazing and powerful and grand and majestic is God, and how I am not. Some people get that crossed. Now look at this, Psalm 8. And today I want to really give a very, very clear picture of His majesty and His honor. And how and why God, who needs nothing, God who is completely, always has been, always will be complete. There wasn't this season when He created man that He was incomplete, so man completed Him. That is just such a joke. He has always been, always will be, unchanging, lacking nothing, having a need for nothing, is absolutely perfectly complete, always has been, always will be, and then yet God created. That's incredible. Now look at this. Psalm 8 says this. "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the world." This word majestic, how excellent, how majestic, how powerful, how mighty, how splendid, how noble is Your name in all the earth. Look at the picture here. "You have displayed Your splendor, Your glory, Your strength, Your power. You are supreme in position and power." That's what this means. You have displayed Your splendor. You have displayed Your power. You have displayed Your authority. You have displayed that You are supreme in every area. Where is that displayed? If we ever question the power and the authority of God, if we ever try to question how great God is, the Bible tells us it is on display. In the heavens. Folks, that's creation. For you and I to ever, ever come to a place to question God's authority and His power and to question how great He is. The Bible says His greatness and His power and His authority and His being supreme in every position is on display in creation. Man, when you understand this, you look at this and you say, God, I can never, ever come to a place to question your authority and your power and your might and your greatness, because your greatness is put on display. Now listen, we all have displays in our homes. Maybe you've got some china from your marriage you put on display and it's beautiful. Or you have, like, you know, your son, your daughter, man, they got first place, that trophy, that ribbon, that goes on display to show everybody, man, he was incredible. This is an amazing tournament. This season was killer. It was first place, and you put it on display. Please don't be those who put on display that participation ribbon. Well, we got last place, and everybody's a winner, and you get a ribbon. You participated. You know, man, what's that for? Oh, we stunk. It was awesome. But they gave us a ribbon and that made everything better. Don't do that. That's not where we're at. Listen, God put on display His splendor, His majesty, His excellence, His radiance, His power, His strength, and His might. It's always on display, folks. And we look at this, and you got to see this, please. Verse 3 says this. For when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you have ordained. Look at this. When I consider, this is David. He is speaking this out in Psalm 8. He's the one who's penning this. And he says this, when I consider, this seems to be a common occurrence with David. It seems to be when I consider over and over, I see the sun, the moon, and the stars. I see your mass creation. God, I look at you as a creator. That on day one, God, I believe you cried out light and light became a dew. On day two, God, there was an expanse and it was the heavens. And on day three, God, it was the earth and the vegetation. On day four, God, you spread the sun, the moon, and the stars. On day five, God, there was the things that swim and the things that fly. And on day six, there was the beast. And then there was this thing called man. The only thing, God, that you made in your image. And you said it was very good. And here David says, when I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, that you've created the sun, the moon, and the stars, he says this amazing thing. Who is man that you take thought of him? He understood the grasshopper thought. He understood his splendor. He understood the majesty of God. And he looks and said, when I look up and I see how great and mass you are, God, who am I, God, that you would even take thought of me? How often, folks, have you come to a place to consider? When was the last time you looked at the sun, the moon, and stars, and that thought came to mind? Not just the greatness of God. Yeah, we can look at the sun, the moon, and stars and really declare first verse of Psalm 8 and say, man, God, you are splendid. God, you are powerful. You are authority. But when do we look at those and see the sun, the moon, and stars? When do we look at this and recognize, man, if we move 2 inches closer or further from the sun, we fry or freeze. If we look at the absolute vast power of God, when was the last time you considered you? God, and how great you are. How is it that you took thought of me? Who am I? That's his heart here, folks. When is the last time you did that? I'm not just saying look at the stars and know God. I'm saying look at the stars, know God, and remember who you are. That God in his creation created you. And we see this, and it's amazing. Just what is man that you take thought of him? And what is the son of man that you care for him? See, where does this start? Genesis 2 says this. Then the Lord formed man from dust. This is amazing, gang. You've got to understand this. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed. Get this. And this is the first time ever in all of ever time that breath ever came into being. And it was right here, Genesis 2:7. God gives us the picture of what took place. God took dirt, formed dirt, and then he breathed into his nostrils. And then the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Gang, this is an amazing, powerful verse where God of all creation, who needs nothing, who is perfect and always will be complete, took a bunch of dirt, put out some type of a body possibly where there was nostrils, and he breathed life, his breath, in the nostrils of that dirt. And it became a living being. What? understand that this was the very first time that breath has ever come. And there was one time that it came close. That breath was going to be no more. Out of all the world, it came down to 8. In Noah's day. But you realize that from this moment, when God formed dirt and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, and that became Adam, a living being, from that moment to today, breath has always, always been. Now look at this. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Serious question this morning. I believe that you're in church because I believe you believe the first part of this. In the beginning, God created man. That I hope and trust, that's where we believe, because there are so many who believe in the beginning, man created God. Folks, I believe this, that God took dirt, breathed the breath of life into some nostrils, and that became breath, and that became the living being now called man. And I believe that the Spirit of God has made me and the breath of the Almighty. I believe that I breathe because God created man. I believe that I have breath because Almighty God has given me breath. We have to answer that question. In the beginning, God created man, or in the beginning, man created God. And all this is just absolute nothing and junk and paper, and we are all doomed for an eternity. That's crazy. Crazy. But one of them is absolutely true. And if you believe, I believe that you're in church. I believe you're under biblical teaching. I believe that you believe the first, that God did create you, and that God is the one who made man. And if you believe that, if you recognize this, then you have to ask why. Isaiah, I want you to see this. Isaiah 42 says this. This is God who created the heavens and strength. Again, talking, gang, you can't ignore all through Scripture, all through the pages of Scripture, that God is the one who created all things, that God and Christ are the ones, through wisdom, are the ones who put everything together in such a powerful way. Here again, Isaiah 42:5, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread the earth and its offspring. Now look at that. Right after declaring His greatness and His authority and His power, what's it say? Who gives breath. God creates, and He stretched out the heavens, and He spread out the earth and its offspring, and He gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk in it. That's amazing. Gang, if you get this foundation this morning, and you begin to really grip, I mean, you take hold of this. I breathe only because God gave me breath. I breathe because it's God who gives breath to me, who inhabits the earth. I breathe because it's the Almighty God who's put breath. When you get that, things change. When you understand the only reason I breathe is God gave me breath. Now look at this. Turn to Job 43, please. Because when you get that, when you understand that, you've got to come to grips with why. You've got to have an understanding of this. So Job 34, please. And this is a dude named Elihu, which is kind of a fun name, Elihu. I mean, that's like neat. Don't call your child Elihu, but it's just pretty cool. I like that name. And this is Job. You can read the whole book of Job. Amazing, crazy, crazy, amazing, all at the same time that Job went through this heartbreaking, losing everything, crazy, crazy, crazy test. Amazing, crazy test. And he had three friends that came to him. Actually, he had four. Three came and just started to rebuke him. And then a fourth shows up. Elihu shows up for the purpose of reminding Job. God can do no wrong, Job. There's no wickedness found in him. He is perfect. Don't question him, Job. You know what? It's amazing because at the end, we see God in Job 42. He rebukes the first three, but He doesn't rebuke Elihu. It's amazing to me. If you read Job, it's amazing in the first and second chapter. Job, I mean, he loses everything. And then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know whose idea that was? That was God's idea. God's the one who brought Job. Wasn't Satan going, I'm going to go test Job. What do you think about that? God says, I've got Job. What do you think about that? And then you got Elihu here. He comes before him. And he says, and this is incredible. And when you get this, when you understand that it is only God who gives breath to man. And he says this in verse 10. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness. Job, he can never do wrong. Job, he's never, ever done wrong. From the Almighty to do wrong. And he pays a man according to his work and makes him find it according to his way. Surely, look at this. Surely God will not act wickedly. And the Almighty will not pervert justice. Now look at this. Verse 13. Who gave him authority over the earth? Talking about God. And who has laid on him the whole earth? He's saying, listen, nobody is above God. God stands alone. That's what he's saying. And then get this. This is incredible. Verse 14. If he should determine to do so. This is Elihu's picture. A right picture of majestic, all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign, perfect God who can do anything because he's all-powerful, who recognizes we only breathe, Job, because he gave us breath. Look at this. This is incredible when you see this. If he should determine to do so, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, if he should take that moment from Genesis 2:7 and bring that back. Get this. Job, if he should take that moment in Genesis 2:7 when he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of that dirt and it became a living being, if he would determine, this is the power of God, if he would determine to do so, take his breath, look at the result, all flesh would perish together and they were returned to dust. Oh, you know what that means? Billions, folks, billions and billions and billions of people who are currently on this thing called Circle Earth, this amazing thing called Earth, every single person, which is billions of people, all together, you know what that means, would at once drop if God would determine to do so. Folks, in Genesis 2:7, he gave us breath. We breathe because he's the only one who gave us breath. And I am grateful that we have the whole New Testament to see that there isn't a day. There is a day that this earth comes to destruction and all who refuse to follow him come to destruction. But it's not because he removes his breath. But Elihu has the proper picture of the authority and the power of God to come to a place and say, if he could, I mean, if he chose to because he can take back that breath of life. And in an instant, every billions of people would drop and turn to dust. Folks, that should do one of these to us to realize the absolute sheer power and authority of God. And it makes us understand what it is to be a grasshopper when you look at the vast power of who he is. So the next question has to be this. Okay, God, I understand that I breathe because you gave me breath. Why? Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created, whom I have formed, whom I have made. Gang, those are creation words. Everyone who I've called, created, formed, made. Everyone who I've called, created, formed, made, are for what reason? For my glory. Gang, please get this. This changes everything. When you understand this, when you recognize, number one, I have breath, the reason I breathe, because God of all creation gave me breath. He's the one who gave me breath. He is the Almighty One. And because I have breath, the reason he gave me breath is in turn to bring glory to him. And this word glory, it means that which is honor. We are to turn and honor God. Because he gave us breath, we are to honor him. We are to bring make him splendid. We are to come to a place for his radiance, for his brilliance, for his authority, for his excellence. Gang, guess what? It's all about him. When you understand this, things change. When you have an understanding that man, sometimes we can get into this rut, this day-to-day rut that we wake up. We go to work, we pay our bills, we come home, we love our children, we love our wives, we go to bed, we wake up, repeat. We wake up, we eat our cereal, we go to work, we go to school if you're in school, we go play with our friends if we do that, if we're single, we go do it, we're single, and then if we're married, we come home, we pay our bills, we kiss our wives, we kiss our husbands, we hug our kids, we go to bed, and we wake up, repeat. And when you understand the very reason you have breath is to do all of those, and all of those are good. But it's for His glory. And when you recognize all of His creation is for His glory. Psalm 19 says this, it's amazing. When you see it, when you recognize, man, the heavens are telling the glory of God. And they are declaring, then their expanse is declaring the work of His fingers. Gang, my man Adam. Adam is a home group leader. He is he works for the sheriff's department. He's a sergeant, drives around at night. He gets the most amazing, incredible views at night of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And man, he'll send me a text 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and it'll be this. The heavens are screaming the glory of God. I mean, I love his text at 4 a.m. I do. I don't mind them at 4 a.m. when it's declaring how excellent and powerful God is. And he'll send a text just simple. The stars are screaming his excellence. Why? Because the stars were created for the glory of God and to put on display his splendor and his might and his power. All of creation is for his glory and for his honor. And you recognize that you were created and you were called and you were formed and you were made to bring him honor and glory and excellence and radiance, folks. And then you have this life-changing verse. And then you have this verse of 1 Corinthians 10:31 that is an absolute staple verse. Whether I eat or drink or whatever I do. Gang, that's everything. Whether I eat or drink or whatever I do all for the glory of God, for His honor. Therefore, when I wake up, and when I eat my cereal, and when I go to work, and when I pay my bills, and when I love my wife, and when I love my children, and when I go to bed, and when I wake up, it's not just repeat. It's God, I breathe this morning, and today, God, at work, I will bring you honor. Today, God, at home, I will bring you honor. Today, God, as a husband, I will bring you honor. As a wife, I will bring you honor. As a father, I will bring you honor. As a mother, I will bring you honor. God, today, as a brother or a sister, a brother or sister, brother or sister, sister, God, in this home, in our family, we will live and exist in such a way that, God, we will bring you honor. God, I am single, and God, I'm going through, and in my singleness, there's a purpose for God. Today, I wake up, and I walk out the door, and God, the whole reason that I walk out the door is to bring you honor and to bring you glory, and gang, it changes everything. It changes everything about your day when you get this, when you understand why you breathe. That God who is never in need, God who is completely, perfectly, and totally complete, came up close and personal in creation to create you, to give you breath, to honor Him. When you understand that, when you are walking in a place in your marriage, you're walking in a place. Well, you know, biblically, God says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Yeah, but Sean, you don't know my wife. Man, Sean, you don't know how hard it is at home. You don't know what's going on. You have no idea who my wife is. Dude, you married her. I don't know. But I know what God says about that marriage. I know what God says about you are to love her as Christ loved the church. What if we understood this verse? What if, God, I will love my wife as you love me, as you love the church. No regard to God. Anything I don't see, God, no matter what she's doing, no matter where she's at, God, no matter if she doesn't give me respect, no matter if she doesn't honor me, God, but because I live and I breathe to bring honor to you, God, I'll do my part. What if you were a wife who said, man, my husband doesn't love me like that. My husband, man, how am I supposed to respect him? How am I supposed to honor him? How am I supposed to submit to him? Again,
God, regardless of him, God, I see my part in this, and you have called me to submit to him. You've called me to honor him. You've called me to respect him just as I do you. And God, in that, because I breathe to bring you honor. I don't breathe for my husband. I breathe, you gave me life, not my husband. And God, because you gave me life, and I breathe to bring you honor. In that, God, I'll do my part, and I'll honor him, and I'll respect him, and I'll submit to him, because that's my part. And I don't do it for him. God, I do it because first, you are my priority, and I will honor you first. Gang, everything changes in that. Everything changes in that. I strongly believe if you have a job and you are working, as one who has professed Christ, who looks at this and says, this is truth, I believe that there is an absolute incredible purpose. I don't care if you're a garbage man. I don't care if you sweep floors for a living. I don't care if you're part-time at a restaurant. I don't care if you're mega $1 million. Everything you do has got to be for his glory. It doesn't say, well, if you make this much money, then it'll be for his glory. Wherever you work, you ought to be, I believe this, you ought to be the very best employee of that place. Because you're not there to represent you. You've got to understand, this is life-changing. You are there to represent him. I breathe and I have this job. And the purpose that I breathe, the purpose I have this job is to bring honor to him. And you calling in sick and you being late and you come to a place to be the nag at work and you come to be the, and nobody likes you. And then all of a sudden, then they're coming again. And then you hyper-spiritual say, well, I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. No, you're a terrible employee. What if you woke up tomorrow on Monday and you said, today everything's different? God, today I'll go to work, not just for me. Today I go to work, God, to bring honor to you. And the complaining, the showing up late all the time, calling in sick when you're not sick, that's just a lie. How does that bring honor to God? I believe that when you understand, I work and I breathe. I'm a husband, I'm a wife. I'm a father, I'm a mother. I'm a brother or a sister. And I do it because I want to honor my God and my King who gave me the very breath to do it with. Everything changes. Gang, if you're single in this place, whether you are old or single, teenage single, college single. And I know, man, I sit down with people all the time and it is lonely. And at times it is very difficult. Please hear this because I've seen this so way too much. Please don't. Come to a place when you say, God, in my singleness, I will honor you. If you're serious about making that decision today, if you're serious about seeing what God said about you breathe for him, then please, in your single, if you truly are walking with Christ, do not think for a moment, don't get lied to that it is okay for an instant to date somebody who doesn't breathe for Jesus. No, you got to hear this. All the time I deal with this. All the time I'm dealing with, well, I'm going to evangelize her. But have you seen how hot she is? Man, I can evangelize that. I don't think you care about evangelizing that. I think there's other things, you know, okay. But this is the deal. God said don't. God said don't do that. God said separate yourself from that. God says don't get involved with someone who is not like you, who is not a believer, who is an unbeliever, who is a child of Satan and not a child of God. God said don't. You can't convince me anywhere in Scripture that dating evangelize is a biblical thing. It is a lie and it is wrong. Now please hear this. I am firm on this because I've seen so many who love Jesus make one decision to not honor him in a relationship and it has destroyed them. Yeah, but I'm lonely. Yeah, but he's so nice. Yeah, but he went to church once. Well, I know he's 45, but when he was 8, he said he raised his hand once. Please, if you're hearing this morning and you are single, and you are involved with someone who does not breathe for Jesus, who doesn't get that, or she doesn't understand that,
If you respond to this message, you will say no. You'll say, you know what? We got to be done. You know what? I want to honor him. I breathe for him. And you know what? Honestly, you don't. And I need to respond in a way that this is just wrong. And it may be okay now, but year or two down the road, destruction, man, you are on the path. Why on earth? You will marry someone who you date. It's not a game. Anyone you marry is one that you've dated, unless you're an Obergefell child, because I am picking their spouse. They don't get the option of dating. I am saying, listen, I check out the family. Yes, they come from amazing background foundation. They love Jesus. All right, wedding's tomorrow. Perfect. Done. And you will marry someone you date. Don't play the game. Don't be lied to. Don't be deceived. Don't walk into a place being single and say, well, I'm lonely. God has a purpose in you being single. And if you remember in worship, there is times that you are called to endure. And there are times that you are called to walk in a place, to bank and believe and trust that he is loyal to you. And God is faithful to you. And I'm asking and I'm praying that you would have the courage to say, unless this one breathes for Jesus, then we're done. Pack their bags, kick them to the curb, call them, text them, do whatever you do today. Facebook, I don't even have all that. Do what you do and just simply say, done. Blame me. Pastor says we're done. I'll talk to them. I'd love to meet them. Come on, let's pray. Teenagers, this isn't a game. The Bible wasn't written for adults. That's what's so great about the Bible. It touches from the infant to the pregnant mom to the infant to those with the gray hair to those to the grave. Man, it is without age. It's incredible. So teenagers, if you're in this, man, you cannot miss this. If you are one who's gone through just a hurt and pain of separation or divorce, and man, I know what it is. I can imagine what it is because I've sat down and talked with somebody, what it is to be lonely. But to re-up a mistake, you'll be in the same boat just a couple years from now. I'm asking you to endure because God says to endure, and I'm asking you to bank on God, his faithfulness and his loyalty and his promises to you. And that you would take it today. And you would say, today, I breathe for his glory. Tomorrow I walk out of my house. Or tomorrow for moms who are home and working so hard at home, I will be with these kids and it will be for his glory. I will raise these kids and I will be gentle with these kids. I will speak life into my children. I will pray over my children. I will be at home and I will be at home for my children for the absolute purpose and glory of God. And I will go to work for the very purpose and glory of God. If you are one who walks into a place that you walk out of your house in the morning or the afternoon or the evening because you are going to work, would it be amazing if you walked into a place and you leave your house for the whole purpose? I will work this job to honor my God. I will be single to the glory of God. I will lay down impurities. I will walk in a pure way in my relationship. And it will be for the glory of God. I will put aside any temptation. I will lay it down for the glory of God. When you start going in a mindset there and you rearrange what you think, say, and do, and it all becomes because we breathe for him, it's all about his glory. Gang, don't miss it. Everything changes. It's amazing that God of all creation created you and created me so that we can in turn. And everything we eat, everything we say, everything we do, bring glory to him. And as we sing this last song, I'm just going to ask you, where is it that you need to change? Is it something at home? Is it a marriage? Is it a husband? Is it a wife? Is it your attitude at work? How we treat our kids? Your attitude about being single? Is it being in a relationship and keeping it pure? When you leave this place, if you've heard this, things change. Wake up tomorrow, it's not the same. God, I wake up and I breathe for your glory. It's not just I wake up, I go to work, I pay the bills, I hug my wife, hug my kids, go to bed, repeat. There's purpose to your rise. There's purpose to your workplace, and it's not just the bills. There's purpose to your marriage. There's purpose to you being a parent. There's purpose to you being single. There is purpose to you being in a relationship. And it's for the glory of God. What needs to change for you to come to a place to say, man, listen, gang, we're either honoring him or we're dishonoring him. That's it. We either come to a place to realize this morning things change because I breathe for his glory. Or, man, I've really been living for myself. We're going to sing this song, and I'm just asking that you make some decisions. I can't decide for you, man, please. I can tell you, and I can tell you, and I can tell you, and I can beg God to speak to your heart. I can beg God by your Holy Spirit that you would do a work in the heart of man. But it's only you that can respond, man. That's it. It's only you that can respond. This is one of them life-changing moments, folks, if you get it. God, today I breathe for your glory. Come on, stand to our feet, please.